it's Endpoint TV. This is Ron, your host. I always start the show the same way. I always say welcome back, and I thought today I would do something different. It's Ron Jacobs, your host, joined by Leon Wilicki, and it's a warm day here in Seattle, one of those rare, beautiful, warm, sunny days. And so I think we get like 2 weeks of these a year. That's it. And so
yeah.
We're enjoying the warmth. So, Leon, we had a great time previously going through kind of some of the best practices for designing activities. You've actually produced a white paper on activity design guidelines or something. Is that the name of it?
We are working on that. We haven't published it yet, but that's in the pipeline.
Okay, so something like that, right? Yeah. We're going to have a link to it when because by the time this gets out, it'll be real close, I'm sure.
Yeah, very likely.
All right, but that's okay, because we don't have to wait for the paper. We're talking about it here today. So we've had part one, part two. We talked about a bunch of stuff. We're going to continue the conversation. This is part three.
Yes.
Right. Okay, all right. So we're not going to worry about what part one and part two was. If you missed those, go back and watch them. Let's get right into it. What's the first guideline you got for us?
Great. We will continue now with some activity design guidelines.
Okay.
Regarding activity design itself. I mean, activity design guidelines seems like the whole theme.
Yeah.
What I prefer is type design guidelines in this
case. Okay, all right.
So we will start with some very simple ones regarding naming.
Yeah.
So I'll go through the first three, and then we'll elaborate a bit.
Yeah.
Do not add the postfix activity to any activity type name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I created one the other day, and I called it diagnostic trace. But so you're saying, like, I shouldn't name it diagnostic trace activity.
Exactly.
Right.
Only diagnostic trace.
Yeah.
And this might seem like something, I mean, the folks who were using Workflow 3 may find this like a bit, it may call their attention, because in Workflow 3, all the activities had the activity
at the end.
Postfix at the end.
Okay.
Like sequence activity, state machine activity.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, that's true. People might naturally think you should do the same thing.
Yeah.
But, okay, so this is just a, okay, we don't want to be like the diagnostic trace activity.
Exactly. So the name of the type just represents the intention of that activity.
Okay.
What you're trying to achieve.
Cool.
And if you look at in the framework with the type browser or with Reflector and system.activities, you'll see that all the activities, they are just like send, receive, invoke method, sequence, flowchart. They don't have any postfix.
Good. All right.
Same thing goes for arguments and variables.
Okay.
So do not add the postfix argument or arg or whatever to arguments.
Okay.
And do not add the postfix variable or var to variables.
Oh, makes sense. Okay. I gotcha.
Like in send, you have like the endpoint or in invoke method, the method name, but not method name argument.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The final one regarding naming of the ones that I want to call out here is consider using the suffix scope for activities which are designed to decorate other activities and add execution semantics.
Oh, okay. So like transaction scope?
Right.
Or cancellation scope? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea of a scope, it's just the same sort of thing in code. Like if I were using a transaction in code, I might say like, you know, using, you know, transaction, and I have an open and closed brace. So a scope is the same sort of notion. Like if I have some kind of block that I want to have, you know, something shared amongst, that's a scope.
Yeah, you decorate a piece of code and you add some specific functionality that is available to that piece of code. For example, in transactions code scope, you have an ambient transaction.
Right.
Or we have in the SDK, for the ones who want to learn how to write their own scope activities, we have a no-persist scope activity.
Right.
That shows, I mean, no-persist zones are zones where you ensure that persistence once happened.
Right.
So there are sort of atomic pieces of execution.
Yeah.
And when you're in a no-persist scope, the contained activity, we will ensure that we won't persist while that activity is executing.
Right. Okay. So, and a scope might have some sort of an ambient thing, like a transaction, or it might set up some kind of block of functionality like the no-persist, like nothing in here is going to persist, or cancellation scope gives you a way to say, everything in here, if it cancels, the cancellation body is going to be invoked.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So let's move forward
to
the next one. And for the next of the guidelines, we'll have like these questions of why do I, right?
That's yeah, like, okay.
So we will start with sort of why do I questions, and then we will answer them with these guidelines.
So this one is really important. This one about arguments, properties, activities, because, you know, when you just go and create like a new code activity, and the template shows you an argument, you get an in argument named text, and it shows you how to access the value of the argument and all this. If, you know, it's kind of funny. For the longest time, I thought everything had to be an argument because the template only shows you an argument. I didn't realize you could even put a property as opposed to an argument.
Or even an activity. Like, sometimes we get the question, I mean, did you ever ask yourself why if activity, the condition in an if, it's an argument, but the condition in a while is an activity?
I never asked that. Maybe I should.
We had the question a lot of times, right? Uh-huh. And it goes, the general question, if we generalize it, is like you were saying, when do I use an argument or an activity or a CLR property?
Right, okay.
So we can go through these three guidelines and we will answer that question.
All right, cool.
So first one, do use arguments for expressions that are evaluated once before executing the activity.
Okay.
So these are things that are evaluated only once.
Right.
For example, the condition in the if.
Okay.
You evaluate it only once, and you don't need to evaluate it further.
Right. Okay. Right? Okay.
Same for writeLine.txt, right?
Right.
You can put an expression there. It will be evaluated before executing the writeLine, but you don't need to reevaluate it.
Uh-huh. Further. Okay. Now, for example, in the property versus, well, maybe I should get this later, but let me just say it now since I already started.
Yeah.
Like, writeLine, because it accepts an argument, you have to quote the string because it's something can be evaluated, which gives more powerful because then you could concat a string or you could call string format or whatever. You could pass the result of some expression or, you know, because it's an in argument. But if you said, look, I'm just going to make my own writeLine and I don't want to have to quote strings or anything. I just want to put the text I want to write. You could have made it a string property.
Yes.
Okay, then you don't have to quote it or anything like that.
The problem with having it, it's not a problem, right? Mm-hmm. But if you have a string property, the thing is that, and I'll read the guideline here and I'll explain that right away. That is the third one. I will skip the one in the middle. Do you use CLR property for things that don't change for all instances of an activity?
Okay.
Meaning that when you have a CLR property, in the case of that writeLine, you will put a text, but it's something that you know statically at design time.
Okay.
And therefore, that text will be the same for all the activity instances. So you won't be able to change from one instance to the other.
Okay, but that would be like the equivalent of if I declared a const in my class.
Something like that.
And I said, okay, whenever I write this, it's always going to be this text, right? So if that's fine, that would be okay.
Yeah, for example, the invoke method name. Mm-hmm. When we, in invoke method, we don't do like dynamic resolution. We resolve that at cache metadata time, right?
Okay.
So you need to know the method name in advance, and you cannot change.
Ah, okay. So you couldn't like in the middle of a if condition, say, call a function that returns the method name you want to invoke.
You cannot do that. You need to know that when you are designing your workflow.
Right.
And therefore, since you know and you cannot change, that's why method name in invoke method is a CLR property and not an argument.
Okay. All right. So anything that you have to know at design time or that's fixed at design time.
And that won't change for all instances of your activity. Because remember that at design time, what you are building is the definition of your workflow.
Right.
And then you will create instances for that definition.
Right. Okay.
So anything that you know and that won't change for all that instances, you can put as a CLR property.
So it is effectively like declaring a const value.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. All right. Okay, cool.
And I'll go now to the one in the middle.
Yeah.
That is, do use activity of the result.
Yeah.
Activity is one of the generic base classes of activity.
Right.
For expressions that may be evaluated more than once.
Okay. And this is why the while loop
exactly.
is an activity.
That's why the while.condition is an activity.
Okay.
Because what you do in a while is you evaluate an expression.
Yeah.
And while that expression holds true, you execute the body.
Right.
So once you finish executing the body, you need to reevaluate that expression to see if it's still true.
Yeah, you have a demo for this, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to see it now, or are you going to show it later?
We can see it now.
Okay, let's see it now because this is I think this one is a little subtle in it. So go ahead and load that up. Let's
great.
See it.
Before the demo, let me like just recap the three of them in the correct order. So we have CLR properties for things that we know at the same time and won't change from instance to instance.
Okay.
Arguments for things that, for expressions that will be evaluated only once.
Right.
And activity of t result, uh-huh. for expressions that may be evaluated more than once.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
So, let's go to the demo here. And I have a bad while.
Okay.
And it's a bad while activity.
Yeah.
Because this is what it does. It has an in argument, a Boolean input argument with a condition.
Yeah.
And a body.
Yeah.
And this seems pretty reasonable, right?
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, you know, I get the condition, right? Yeah.
Condition and in argument. Uh-huh. So when I execute, I evaluate the condition.
Yeah.
If it's true, I will schedule the body.
Right.
When the body is completed, remember of the callbacks that we discussed before.
Yeah, right. We're not caching the delegate callback. Yeah. Here. That's bad. All right.
Yeah. When the... You're right. When the body is completed,
yeah.
what we will do is like
check
we will
condition again.
Again and execute and so on and so forth.
Okay.
The problem with this, let me show you, the code that consumes this. Here I have a workflow.
Yeah.
Where I'm consuming this bad while. And what I'm doing is I have a counter.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is I will execute a set of activities while that counter is lower than 20.
Okay.
So what I do in the body is I write line.
Yeah.
The value of the counter, increment it by one, and wait 100 milliseconds.
Right. Okay.
So let's run it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
And, you know, just so people know, you wrote your workflow and code here, but you could write this in XAML. It would have made the same in the designer.
Right? Yeah, I could have done it with the designer, and it would be the same result.
Okay.
There's no difference. So let me just run it. Run this bad while. And it will start running. And now we reach 20 and it continues.
That's bad.
It will never stop.
It will never stop.
Eventually, an overflow error for the integer counter.
All right.
So let me hit. And the reason why this is not stopping is because this condition has been evaluated before we prepared the activity for execution, but it's never re-evaluated again. So it's true when we started executing the activity, and it will remain true all over the activity lifetime.
Okay, so before this execute method was called, the runtime at some point before that has evaluated the expression that yielded the condition.
Yes.
And it just stored the result of that, and it's never going to evaluate it again.
Right. That's what is going on.
Yeah, so every time we get in the body complete, we're just looking at the value and
evaluating. You're just looking at
once.
That value. Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. And so the way I think about this is like the difference is an activity is something that can be scheduled so it can be evaluated again.
Right.
But an argument can't be scheduled. It's just a value.
And once the argument is resolved, I mean, what it's doing is reusing that value that we already got. It's immutable.
Right. Okay, so let's see the correct implementation.
Yeah. Let's go to the bad while fixed.
Yeah.
Again, another thing to be clear, if that condition would have been false...
Yeah, we would have never entered.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, people might look at that and go, well, that's correct. It shouldn't have entered, right?
That's correct. But either for true or false, it's evaluated once and...
This is why you should write unit tests, my friends. You would know. You would detect this right off the bat, right? Okay, so...
So, let's go to the bad while fixed. And you see that here we have an activity of bool for the condition.
Right, okay.
And you'll see that this solution is slightly more complex because you need to take care of scheduling that activity.
Ah, okay.
So, in the execute, the first thing that we do is we schedule the condition.
Yeah. Ah, I see. Okay. And then when the condition is complete,
we see if the you see that in this completion callback, it receives a Boolean.
Right. Okay.
So we receive a bool result.
Yeah.
And if that result holds true, we will schedule the body.
Ah, okay. But you're not caching the delegates. That's okay.
I did not No, and that's a great observation.
Yeah,
and because according to the good practices, I would need to cache delegates every time that I do like a lot of invocations of the delegate.
Yeah.
But here I left it like this for the sake of simplicity.
Just to be simple. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
So in this case, I schedule the body.
Uh-huh.
And when the body is completed, I schedule again the condition.
Beautiful.
When the condition is complete, I go here to the condition complete.
That's great.
But you see that the complex is
it's a little more complicated,
complex.
Yeah, but it makes sense. Now, what I want to see is, what does the calling code look like when it calls yep. to set up this activity of bool?
Well, from a calling code perspective,
yeah,
there's no difference. Let me show
no
you
difference,
the,
huh?
The bad while fixed.
Yeah. So the condition is just the same thing, expression services convert.
Yeah, in both cases I'm passing an expression.
Uh-huh.
But the difference is that in the first case I will evaluate the expression only once.
Yeah.
And in this case I'm evaluating multiple times.
Okay. Okay. So really that's very interesting, because you look at this and you see in argument of bool and activity of bool, you would think, oh, well, I have to do something different to create an activity of bool, but you really didn't have to.
No, in both cases, you're passing an expression.
Oh, okay.
And as you can see, the code for consuming this is the same. And let me execute it.
Yeah, okay.
So I show you that it's actually the same.
Okay.
And it will stop on the 20.
Ah, nice, okay. So that's good, because then you don't have to worry if I create an argument that's an activity, you don't have to worry like, oh, this is going to make it more complicated for people who are calling my thing. They won't know the difference.
No.
Okay, good. So we are so out of time. We're having so much fun going on through this. We're going to have to break it right here. We're going to come back and do part 4 with more tips on building great activities with Leon Wielicki. So see you next time on Endpoint TV.